Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you very much.
All right. Well, it's good to have you back with us again.
Thanks.
Yeah. Now, I think last time we began to talk a little bit about the extraterrestrials.
We did.
And what, I guess we can just go in any direction we need to, but to kind of get started, what role do the extraterrestrials play in this?
They play a beneficiary role. They are here on a mission of mercy. They are here to help. And they are part of the forces of light that will be involved in helping us turn our planet around and getting it going in the right direction.
Okay.
So they're here to help.
Okay, well, that's good news. And I guess from what I've kind of... I've been looking at the UFO phenomenon since the 1970s, and from what I understand, these extraterrestrials have been around for a great, great many years. Yeah,
yes,
is that your well?
Yeah, as you probably have seen, there are even photos of cave dwellings for early man drew on the side of their cave pictures of ETs and their spacecraft. My information, by the way, just so your listeners know, my information comes from mostly from a man named Benjamin Krem, who lives in London. He's been traveling the world for about 40 years giving out this information without any pay. He makes no claims for his own status in the world or anything like that. He's actually a very humble man and probably the most spiritual man I've ever met. My information comes from him. In particular, he has about 15 books on Amazon.com. I'm not here to sell books. But one of his books, which I think your listeners, if they're interested in UFOs and in extraterrestrials and the Space Brothers and Sisters, would love this book. It's got a long name. It's called The Gathering of the Forces of Light, UFOs and their spiritual mission. They're here on a spiritual mission. And his information is that they have been visiting us on planet Earth for 300,000 years, which is a very long
time.
Yes. Well, they're advanced. Technologically, they're advanced way beyond us. And so they can do things that we don't even know about. Their science knows things that we have yet to discover, and it's one of the reasons we don't understand them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and probably a reason why there's a little bit of fear, too, in some circles about the ETs.
Well,
yeah, there's just
the government...
Highly...
Sorry. The governments have perpetuated this fear. The governments, the Western governments, have perpetuated this fear, I think, Ralph, mm-hmm. And Benjamin Krem thinks. Now, Benjamin Krem, by the way, just to give him some credibility, you know, he's worked with the Space Brothers. He's flown with them. He's worked with Desmond Leslie, whom you may know about, and George Adamski, and others that have been working in this field for many, 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 many years.
Okay.
And his information is that we don't understand the science that they're using, so it's made our governments especially afraid of them. The Western governments for over 30 years have been putting them down, have been trying to get us to be afraid of them. Some of the governments have black ops. They've gone out and slaughtered cattle and blamed it on the space people. By the way, I don't call them aliens because I think that's an ugly name given to them by these Western governments who uh-huh. number one, claim they don't exist, and number two, say that they're bad. Now, how do you relate that? I don't know. But that's what they've been doing for 60 years.
Hey, look out, they're evil.
Yeah. They've been trying to destroy their credibility for 60 years now, and it's mainly because they don't understand the science behind their craft and their existence.
Mm-hmm. And, these extraterrestrial brothers and sisters, now, I take it they're living beings similar to us?
Yes, they are. They are. The people that are visiting us are from our solar system. They're not from the Pleiades. They're not from Sirius. Those folks have their own issues to worry about. They're from our solar system. They're mostly from our neighbors, Mars and Venus, our closest neighbors. Now, as I understand it, Mars is the manufacturing planet for our solar system. The people on Mars love to work. They work really hard. They love it. And they build about 90% of the spacecraft that are used in our solar system. When a planet, some of these planets are very, very advanced, like Saturn, Jupiter, Venus, Mercury. When they want spacecraft, they put in an order to Mars. Mars, with what their specifications are, Mars makes the craft, and then they go pick them up. And so Mars is the manufacturing planet. Now, we don't know that there's anybody on Mars or on any of the other planets in our solar system, even though they are people just like us. Well, they look a little bit different. Some are shorter, some are taller. The Martians tend to be short, 4 foot 6 inches, like that, maybe 5 feet tall. The people from Venus tend to be quite tall, 6.5, 7 feet tall. And so there are differences, but there's humanity throughout all of cosmos. That's all that cosmos is life, according to what I understand.
Yeah.
Now, the science that we don't understand, Ralph, is our science is only aware of three levels of physical matter, solid, uh-huh. liquid, and gas. And Earth, conveniently, is the only planet that's just the right distance from the sun in our solar system to have solid physical life on the planet. The trees are solid physical. The buildings are solid physical. The people are solid physical. And we don't freeze or burn up. On all the other planets in our solar system, solid physical life isn't possible as we know it. Yeah, and what our science hasn't discovered is that above gas, there's another level of physical matter that's just like gas. You can't see it, you can't touch it, you don't know it's there, but it is there, and it's very real, just like oxygen is very real. Well, this mm-hmm. fourth level of physical matter is very real. It's called etheric physical. The Ageless Wisdom calls it etheric physical matter, like ether is a gas with a very high, fine vibration. Well, this is etheric physical. You can't see it, you can't touch it, unless you have etheric vision. Now, there are a few people on the planet who do have etheric vision, and they see these UFOs up there in the thousands all the time, because they're up there all the time. They see them all the time. They just don't talk a lot about it, because people will tell them they're crazy. I don't see anything, you know. The beginning of etheric vision is people who see auras. That's the beginning of etheric vision. So etheric physical is real. We just can't take a picture of it with a camera that lands on Mars because the camera doesn't have etheric vision. So it doesn't see anything. There's buildings and people all over Mars. Matter of fact, my information is that Mars has more people on it than planet Earth. Mars has about 8 billion people on it. And Mars is a smaller planet. So guess what? The people are smaller. It only makes sense, you know. But, yes, they're people just like us. George Adamski has a photo in one of his books of three of his Martian friends that live on planet Earth, or that did live on planet Earth, and they look just like you and I.
Okay.
And so there's humanity throughout all of cosmos.
And sometimes they're just in different forms, like etheric physical matter
instead
of our common matter.
Exactly. So their UFO is made out of etheric physical. They see it, just like you and I see each other. They see each other, and they see their craft, but we can't see it unless they lower the vibration of the aircraft. If they lower the vibration of their UFO to temporarily become solid physical, then we see it. So we only see them when they want us to.
Okay.
And they can do the same thing.
Right.
Yeah. And they can do the same thing with their physical bodies. They can lower the vibration of their etheric physical body to become temporarily solid physical, and then we see them. So
right.
That's what happened in Roswell. In Roswell, my information is that UFO crash in Roswell was an intentional crash by three Martians in their UFO. They lowered the vibration of the UFO to become solid physical. They lowered their bodies to become solid physical. And they made that sacrifice. They crashed and died to prove to us that they exist. Well, what did our government do? Of course, they kept it a secret. So
right.
their sacrifice was almost for nothing. But that was real. You can't find the spacecraft now because it has returned to etheric physical. You can't find their bodies now because they have returned to etheric physical. But that was what that sacrifice was all about in Roswell. That was a real crash in 1953, or whenever it was. I forget the year. But, yeah, that's what happened. Yeah. So that's why we can't see them. Because they have to lower the vibration of their craft. And then when they want to disappear, they either just fly off at the speed of faster than the Dickens, or they raise their vibration and just poof, they disappear back to etheric physical. So they can be in the water, they can be in the ground, and they can be in the air because they're etheric. They can go anywhere.
Okay.
And we don't understand that. Our science has discovered etheric physical, but we don't know it. We're calling it dark matter. What science calls dark matter is actually etheric physical. The scientists are now saying dark matter is everywhere in the universe.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, it is. It's etheric physical.
and that's the other side of the people.
Go ahead.
Oh, I was getting ready to say that's the other side of life as we do not yet know it.
That's right. That's right. So that's life on every other planet. They're etheric physical, so they don't burn up or freeze.
All right.
Their buildings are etheric, their vehicles are etheric, and their UFOs are etheric. But it's the next. We're going to discover that, and then everything's going to make sense, you know?
Yes. Yeah, I have a feeling that we're in for a major paradigm shift, probably in the not-so-distant future as a lot of this stuff comes out.
Yes, I think you're right, Ralph. I think you're absolutely right. The paradigm shift has happened. People just don't know it yet.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it started happening in 1675 when we started coming into alignment with the great constellation Aquarius. We were in alignment with Pisces for 2,000 years, and then we say we're in the age of, whenever we're in alignment with one of these constellations, we say we're in the age of whatever that constellation is. Well, in 1625, we started moving out of the influence of Pisces, and in 1675, we started entering the influence of Aquarius, and we're receiving those real powerful energies from that great constellation Aquarius now, and that's the paradigm shift, Ralph. It's different energies. The energies of Pisces were individuality. The energies of Aquarius are group, cooperation, synthesis. So we used to think that the way to succeed on this planet was to get, there isn't enough to go around, so make sure you get enough for you and your family, the people you love. Well, what we know now is there is enough to go around, and so now the way to survive on the planet is to help others. If you help others, then you will always have enough. But people don't know that shift has happened. Go ahead.
Yeah, we're still trying to find our way through it, it sounds like.
We are. We're moving from a world of competition to a world of cooperation. The rules are changing, but people haven't noticed that the rules are changing yet. But when we do, we're waking up now. Our planet, every planet has a life, just like humans have a life. Actually, a planet has many lives, just like humans have many lives. Each of us, before we're done, will have had hundreds of thousands of lifetimes. And the soul picks up a different body at the end of each lifetime. It picks up a new body and picks up right where it left off. The soul remembers where we left off in our growth, our physical, emotional, mental, and spiritual growth, our evolution. The soul remembers. So we pick up in our next body, we pick up right where we left off. Well, the planets do the same thing. The planets have seven lives, or seven rounds, they're called. And each round is millions of years. And as a planet evolves and grows and learns more and more, it becomes moving towards a perfected planet, just like we're moving towards becoming perfected people. The people that are already perfected, they're in the kingdom of heaven, what we call the kingdom of heaven or the kingdom of souls. They're the spiritual masters, the masters that have been the inspiration for humanity behind the scenes for eons. They're perfected human beings. They've learned all the lessons planet Earth has to teach, and they don't need to be on planet Earth anymore, so they're not. They don't need a body anymore, so they don't have a physical body anymore. Well, planets do the same thing. And when a planet becomes a perfected planet, it disappears. It doesn't need physical form anymore. We have a perfect planet in our solar system. It's the planet Vulcan, V-U-L-C-A-N. It is a perfect planet. It's out there, but it's etheric. We can't see it. Isn't
now,
that great?
That is great. Sounds like Mr. Spock is coming to the room.
I know. I couldn't believe it when I heard that the planet was named Vulcan.
Now, whereabouts would Vulcan be located? Near the sun or further away from the sun?
I'm sorry, I don't know. I know that it's hidden by one of the other planets. It trails one of the other planets. But I don't know which one. I'm sorry. I should know that, but I don't. Yeah, and Venus is the next one. Venus is almost, it's in its seventh round. It's almost a perfect planet. Well, the only way a planet can evolve is when the people on it evolve. We're responsible for evolving planet Earth. So in Venus, being almost a perfected planet, the people on Venus are almost perfect people. Benjamin Krem said if you were to talk to somebody from Venus, you would think you were talking to a god. That's how loving and kind and knowledgeable they are.
Okay. Now, you know,
that's who's coming to help.
Makes me wonder. We're talking about sending people to Mars in about 10 years or so. And I've been reading where NASA is looking into ways of trying to put colonists above the planet Venus. What might happen if our people come into contact with the Martians and the Venusians?
I think we would be very pleasantly surprised, but I don't think we're going to have to go there to come in contact with them, because I think they're going to openly walk among us before 10 years are up. My information is that the masters are returning now, not all of them, but about 40 of the masters are returning to planet Earth in physical bodies, and their leader is coming with them for the first time ever. And the leader is, his personal name is Maitreya, the one, it means the one who brings joy. Maitreya is the teacher for the age of Aquarius. Jesus was the teacher for the age of Pisces. He brought the great teaching that God is love, which is a huge teaching. Buddha taught God's wisdom. Jesus taught God's love. Maitreya, the teacher for the age of Aquarius, comes to teach the will of God, the will of God. He said mankind is now ready to start doing God's will more seriously. So it's time to learn God's will. I bring that teaching. And so when he comes out in the open, the space people are going to, then he's going to introduce us to the space people. And they are part of the forces of light. They will help us, but behind the scenes. They're not going to steal the master's thunder. They're going to wait until the Masters come forward, and then they'll really come forward. They'll land on the planet. They'll walk amongst us. They'll be talking to us. They'll be working with us up to a point, helping us get things straightened out. We have to do the work. We made the mess, Ralph, so we have to clean it up. But they can help. So I don't think we'll have to go there to meet them. I think we'll be meeting them much sooner than we anticipate. Not all at once, of course, but I think slowly they're going to start introducing themselves to us more and more openly. You know, they used to wait for the governments to announce them, but now they've given up on the governments, and now they're just appearing more and more to people every day. You probably noticed that over the last 10, 15 years. They just said, the heck with it. We're going to just start appearing to people like crazy. If you go on YouTube, there's an unbelievable number of legitimate sightings on YouTube. You can pretty much tell the fakes from the real ones. And so they're not waiting. They're going to introduce themselves to us. But they're not going to land on the White House lawn and go meet the president and that kind of thing. This isn't their planet. You know, so they're going to help, but they're going to help behind the scenes. Yeah, I think people will be very pleasantly surprised when they meet the space people, because one of the things about the space people is some of them, like Mars, have people on their planet that aren't very good people. They're bad people. Those people are not allowed to fly. They're not allowed to visit other planets. So what most of the folks are going to find out is that these Martians and these Venusians, which are most of them, most of the pilots and most of the crews, are unbelievably wonderful people. They're just loving and kind. They would rather die than hurt somebody.
Okay. But they have their bad people in their society as well, though.
Not on Venus, but on Mars they do. Mars has three levels of society. Mars is set up a little different than Earth. The advanced people live on the surface. And the middle people live on the surface. The middle people that are kind of where we're at in evolution. And then there are the lower level, and they live in the planet. The lowest level of society lives, the least evolved of the Martians live in the planet. You would not want to meet one of them. That would not be pleasant.
Kind of like the old descent into hell idea.
Yes, exactly.
I'll be darned. Yeah, I kind of wondered where that legend came from.
Yeah, yeah. So that there are three levels of society. Each planet is set up a little bit differently, but each one has a plan. Each one has a quote-unquote god for that planet that's in charge of the plan for that planet and in charge of the evolution on that planet. And one of the problems, Ralph, is that our planet Earth, because we can't end war, because we can't end hunger and starvation, and because we aren't ending pollution, our planet is actually holding back the plan for the solar system. The solar system is a unit, just like the human body is a unit. And when a part of the human body gets sick or hurt, the rest of it rushes in to help heal it. Well, that's exactly what's happening in the solar system. Planet Earth is actually holding back the evolution of the planet, of the solar system. And so our neighbors have been invited and asked by our spiritual hierarchy, our kingdom of heaven, they have been asked to come and help. And, of course, they are in the thousands. And they have been for years. They've been helping us, and we don't even know it. There are four primary ways that they are helping us, and I'd be happy to get into those. But there's four parts to the rescue mission, but that's what these folks are doing. They're helping us. We have turned back the evolution on our planet. It's a horrible thing. And it's holding back. There is a society of masters for each planet, and they get together and they meet periodically because there is a god for our solar system that has the plan for our solar system and is responsible for the evolution of our solar system. There are many solar systems in our galaxy, the Milky Way galaxy, and each solar system has a plan. And we're part of that plan, but we're holding it back right now. So you can think of the kingdom of heaven or the kingdom, the spiritual kingdom, as almost like a government because it has levels of management. It all makes sense. There are different levels of responsibility. The God we pray to is the God for planet Earth, and that's who we should pray to. So when we pray, Dear Father in Heaven, or whatever we call God, depending on your religion, you're praying to the one who ensouls planet Earth and is responsible for the evolution of planet Earth. Isn't that cool? It makes sense to me.
Oh, that does, yes. That, you know, God has many different, well, many different ideas of God and the divine and the almighty, and we tend to look to the one that speaks to us and is working to bring us to where we should be.
Yes. Yes. And so we have these planets in our solar system that are all working together. And they have there's a council that meets to talk about the status of the evolution of the solar system and the status of each planet and who needs help and that kind of thing. And right now it's planet Earth that needs help. So they're helping us in at least four ways that I know of.
Okay. So and what is those four ways?
Well, the first one is pollution. We have been killing our planet. And if it was allowed to continue, parts of our planet would start dying, and ultimately the human race would die out, and this planet would have to start over. That would be a tremendous tragedy and setback for the entire solar system, not just for our planet. So the masters are trying to not allow that to happen. So one of the things that has been happening, and this has been going on for, I guess, about 60 years now, it's a really long time, the space people have these huge craft that are mopping up pollution from our planet. They have these craft, and they do this 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 52 weeks of the year, every year. They're up there. Now, these folks could be home with their family, but they're not. They're in a spacecraft around planet Earth mopping up our pollution for us to keep the planet alive and to keep us alive. And they've been doing this for about 60 years. They have craft in the sky cleaning up the air pollution. They have craft in the planet cleaning up the pollution that we have buried in our planet, including nuclear radiation. And they have craft in the oceans of the world cleaning up the pollution. We also have nuclear waste in the ocean that we've been dumping, and all the other pollution. But the main pollution that they have been cleaning up for us is nuclear. Nuclear pollution is the greatest pollution on our planet, but we don't know it. And I'll tell you why. The reason that it is because it's etheric. The etheric nuclear energy can't be contained in our nuclear plants. We don't even know it exists. Yeah, our instruments are too crude to measure it. Well, it's etheric nuclear waste that is the most hazardous, the most dangerous, and it is spewing out of all of our plants, atomic plants around the planet, are just gushing out nuclear radiation into the atmosphere and into the ground, and we don't even know it. It's etheric nuclear pollution, and that's mainly what these ships have been mopping up. There are two things that have happened because of nuclear pollution. One of the things it does is it lowers our immune system. The immune system of humanity has been dramatically injured, and so we're getting flus and cancers we should never get. But our immune systems have been knocked down by this nuclear pollution, the radiation. And so two major things are happening that are really noticeable. One is a much higher incidence of autism. It used to be like one in every 800 kids was autistic, and now it's one in 80. I mean, there's tremendous numbers of autistic children being born now, and the main reason for that is nuclear pollution. The other thing that nuclear pollution is causing is earlier and earlier onset of Alzheimer's. It's happening earlier and earlier to people because our immune system has been beaten down. So those are two things that are primarily caused by nuclear radiation. So they're mopping up all pollution, but they're mopping up mostly nuclear radiation, etheric nuclear radiation. They can measure it. They know how much each atomic plant is leaking nuclear radiation, and they can find it. and they can mop it up. Now, they can't clean everything up because they're limited by the law of karma. It's not their planet. They didn't make the mess. So there's only so much they can mop up. They're trying to keep the planet alive until we wake up and clean the rest up ourselves.
Yeah, they can
that's
help
the
us,
first thing.
Can't do it all for us.
Exactly. That's exactly right. Because it's not their planet. It's not their mess. So karmically, they're limited on how much they can clean up. But they work 24 hours a day helping us in that respect. And we don't even know it. We owe our space brothers and sisters a huge karmic debt that will have to be repaid.
You know, that really explains a lot. I used to wonder why we'd have sightings like the Phoenix Lights, where we have these large craft coming so close to population centers where they can't help but be noticed.
Yes.
And if they're trying to keep secret, they're not doing a very good job of it.
They're not trying
but
to keep secret at all.
Right.
They're trying to help
our mess.
But they're trying not to scare people. See, they usually only appear to people who won't be afraid of them. They're telepathic. The Venusians and the advanced Martians, they're telepathic. So now they don't read your thoughts. I mean, that goes against the law of free will. They can't read your thoughts if you don't want them to. But if you send them a thought, they get it.
Mm-hmm.
And so they are able to sense who will be afraid of them and who won't be, and they try to appear only to people who won't be afraid of them. They know the communities that know about the space people, about the UFOs. They know the communities where they're accepted, and they'll appear there a lot. Because they know they're not going to scare anybody. They don't want to scare us. Not at all. They love us. And so they don't want to scare anybody. So they'll appear, like you said, sometimes in droves. There'll be hundreds of them all in one. I mean, some of them on YouTube are amazing. You'll see whole fleets of UFOs. And so they want to appear to us, but they don't want to scare us. Our government has already done that job, you know. So one of the four ways they're helping is they're helping mop up pollution to keep our planet alive until we wake up. Now, our Earth is in the fourth round of evolution, so we're just past halfway. Well, what happens when a planet is just, so is Mars. Mars is just past halfway. What happens when a planet is just past halfway is they start to wake up. People start to realize they're a living soul. They're not just body, mind, and emotions. They're also a spirit.
Yes.
They start to realize that. They start to realize that they can do things like kill their planet. And they start to realize that they should be helping each other, not hurting each other. They should be cooperating, not competing. And so that's the message, that's the energy we're getting from Aquarius now, because we are ready to act on it. We're at that stage in evolution where we can act on these energies and on these impulses. And of course the masters of wisdom are sending these energies to us all the time, energies of cooperation, energies of peace, energies of enlightenment. They're sending these energies all the time. A lot of them vibrate too high, so they bounce off us, and we don't absorb them, but we absorb a lot of them. And so that's what's happening with planet Earth. We're finally waking up. And that's why Maitreya, the world teacher, can now come and bring to us the will of God, and knows that some of us, at least, will start to respond to the will of God. And everything's going to change. When that happens, everything's going to change. And some of it's going to change really fast. My information is that people will stop starving within about 2 years from the time Maitreya appears on television to the world and declares openly who he is and why he's here.
Mm-hmm.
That within about 2 years there'll be no more starvation. People have said forever, people have said, there will always be the starving few, you know. Well, no, there won't be. There doesn't have to be. So things are going to happen fast, some of them. Very fast.
Okay.
His first four priorities are health care, education, housing, and food for everybody as a human right. Food, housing, health care, an education, and not an education for a job, which is what we get now, an education along the lines of your interest. If your interest is music, then you have a free right to get education about music, and it'll be available to you. See, the masters, when the masters walk amongst us, they're going to help us in each of these areas of life. There'll be a master working with each religion. Jesus' job, Jesus is back, he's living outside of Rome, and his job will be to get Christianity back on track. The Roman Catholic Church, the Christian Church, is the largest church in the world. And this is the last pope we'll have, Ralph. This is the last pope, because Jesus will take his rightful place in St. Peter's throne at the head of the Christian Church. And his job will be to help get the Christian Church back on track. There'll be masters who will help with the arts, music, the arts. There'll be masters who will help with the advancement of science, masters who will help with architecture, masters who will help with health care, masters who will help us with education. Now, they're not going to make us do anything. That goes against God's law of free will. They're going to make suggestions, and then we can either follow them or not. So things are going to, you're right, things are going to happen, change dramatically, and it's time. That's why we're here now. For your listeners, Ralph, the reason they're on the planet right now is to be part of this change. We are being entrusted to turn this planet around.
So this is actually a very exciting time to be alive.
Yes. It's a great time to be alive. You know, my parents were here to defeat the Antichrist, so that he couldn't take over the world and ruin the world for everybody, and that was Hitler. And they did the job. They defeated Hitler and Mussolini and the Axis powers in Japan. They defeated them. They saved the world. They were here for that job. This generation and these generations that are coming in now are here to turn the planet around, because these generations are generations who are awake to the changes, who are awake to the needs of the planet. These are every couple generations, people are born who are ready to help with whatever's needed at that time on the planet. That's part of the plan. People are brought in who can do that job. And we have been brought in to do this job, to work with the space people, to not think they're enemies, to not try to kill them. We can't kill them anyway. They just disappear, you know. It's like the masters. The masters will be in physical bodies, but they can't be killed. They can't be hurt. You know, they don't need to eat or sleep. They just work 24 hours a day. They'll eat if it's a polite thing to do. If they're at a dinner, they'll probably eat a salad or something, but they don't have to.
Okay.
They'll live hundreds of years. The Maitreya will be with us at the center of human life for the next 2,000 years.
I'll be darned.
Yeah, giving advice. People will be asking him. Yeah. People will come, like Israel and Palestine will come and say, help us with some suggestions on how to end this problem. What do we do with the city of Jerusalem? What do we do with the Palestinian borders? What do we do with the West, you know, and so on. And then they will be given suggestions, and they can either act on them or not. But when these suggestions become available to us and we start to be receptive to them, things can change really fast.
Okay.
It is a great time to be alive. I'll tell you, your listeners are going to see changes in their lifetime they would have never believed.
Yeah, it seems like things have changed so fast just in the last 40 years or so.
Oh, yeah.
And, the near future, then, we'll see even greater changes.
Absolutely. We'll see problems being resolved. People will have to go to work to do this. I mean, there's going to be – this involves a lot of hard work. Just like killing the Antichrist was a lot of hard work. Women gave up their taking care of their house and their kids to go to work in factories, you know, to make bombs and tanks and stuff. I mean, they did whatever was necessary to do to win that war and save the world. Well, that's what we need to do. When the time comes and the suggestions are made, we need to act on them. For example, and the United Nations will be a big part of this. For example, starvation. There are plans already made. A lot of under the influence of the masters, there are people who have already developed a lot of plans for how to fix the world. but nobody's listening right now. Mm-hmm. And so somebody's got to get their attention, and then they'll start paying attention. But the plans for how to feed the world, for example, how to get the food distributed to everybody that needs it, and how to help them learn how to grow food in their own area, those plans are already made. That'll be done right away as soon as people are ready to do it, as soon as people are receptive. And that will happen after the masters come forward. The first master to come forward will be Maitreya. He'll appear on television and radio worldwide, all at the same time, and he says it will be my day of declaration. I will declare who I am. And then some people will believe him and some people won't. Just like your listeners, I'm not asking your listeners to believe me. I forgot to say that at the beginning of the show. Please don't believe anything I say. That would be
I think
belief.
I have that in the notes here to the program.
Good.
But yes, just take what you can understand, take what feels right, and leave the rest.
Exactly. If 10 or 20% of what I say makes sense to somebody, great. I'll be thrilled, you know. And if the other 80%, just ignore it for now,
mm-hmm.
you know.
I
and
have
then,
a feeling
and then maybe
it's
after,
really bright,
after this happens. Go ahead.
Oh,
there's a delay between
say,
us. And
when
I think
the time's right, I have a feeling a lot of this will make sense.
Yeah, there's a little delay, I can tell, in our microphones, so we're talking over each other, and I apologize for that. We're kind of tripping over each other sometimes.
It's a bit awkward.
I know, and I'm sorry. I'm sorry that's happening.
Well, that's okay. It's just something with the setup here.
Yeah, well,
we're
doing okay, I think. Yeah.
I think.
So that's the first one, pollution. The second way they're helping us is with the crop circles. The crop circles, the corn circles, they call them, in Europe they call them corn circles. Here we call them crop circles. They're making these beautiful designs in the crops all around the world. They're in Canada, they're in the U.S., they're in a lot of them. Most of them are in England, the south part of England, mainly because that's where Maitreya lives. He's in a physical body now, and he's living in the Asian community outside of London. So there's a lot of crop circles in England, but they're also in different parts of the world. And the crop circles have a couple purposes, Ralph. The first one is they're a very friendly and very beautiful calling card. It's a very beautiful, kind, unfrightening way to say, we're here. We're here,
yeah.
Look at this. You know, here's a crop circle 3 football fields long, and it's got all these intricate little designs that nobody could make with boards strapped to their feet, you know. And so they're making these to get our attention, to let us know that they're here. It's a very innocent, harmless calling card. The second thing they're doing with the crop circles, Ralph, is they're marking the magnetic grid of planet Earth. Planet Earth has a magnetic grid, and there are lines of energy that crisscross on our planet. And where they crisscross, we call that a vortice of energy. And they're marking those magnetic points on the planet with these crop circles. And what's going to happen is when the Space Brothers are introduced to us and start working with us, they are going to give us something called the science of light, or the technology of light. It will be a huge, huge gift that they will give us. And what the technology of light will be, it will be a combination of using the sun's energy and the energy of the magnetic grid of planet Earth to provide free, pollutionless energy for every need on the planet to everyone forever. That's the science of light.
Okay, so that would be a major gift, it sounds like.
That will be a huge gift. We're going to have energy for every need on the planet that won't create pollution, that won't cost a penny, and that will be available to everybody. But they can't give us that science, Ralph, until we end war, because you know what we'd do with it. We'd find a way to make a weapon out of it.
Weaponize it, yes.
Absolutely.
Oh, my. So the time has got to be right for the gift.
Yes. So they can't give us the science of light, the technology of light yet. But wars will die out sooner than people think. people think there will always be wars. Well, no, there won't. No, there won't. There'll be little dictators who will pop up here and there, and then probably through the auspices of the United Nations military will go in and put them down when they pop up. They'll get dealt with. They'll get dealt with by all the countries of the world. All the developed countries of the world will through the auspices probably of the United Nations, that's what it's there for, will go in and put them down. But war will basically end, and when that happens, then they can give us this technology. By the way, the United Nations will not set up any kind of world government. That is not part of the plan, as I understand it. Every nation has a personality. And every nation, and this is part of God's beautiful creation, every nation has its own personality. And the masters will tell us what the personalities of the different nations are. And so each nation contributes to the whole. There's no way we're going to become one government. That won't work. The planet isn't set up that way. Every nation's government is important. And every nation's personality is important. So there won't be a one-world government or anything like that. But the United Nations will be very, very important in doing things like helping with the distribution of food, helping with teaching countries how to grow their own food, and things like that. The United Nations will become a very important organization for getting health care to people, for getting housing to people, and so on.
Okay,
it's
now,
a spiritual
Dick,
organization.
Caller. Yeah, Dick, I think we have our caller. Are you ready to take a question?
Sure.
Okay, I'm going to go ahead and bring the caller on live.
So there won't be a one-way.
Hello, caller, you're on the air.
Yes, United Nations will be very, very important in doing things like helping with the distribution of food. Helping with teaching countries how to grow their own.
That's me, Ralph.
Things like that.
Okay, that's you. Okay, are we back?
Yes.
Okay, I was trying to make sure I didn't hang up on the wrong person. Oh, yes, well, I guess they got cut off or something, so well,
okay.
Continue.
Yeah, so crop circles. That they're going to give us this energy-free, pollution-free energy. So that's what the crop circles are doing. They're letting people know there's also some code in those circles. And we have some people on the planet trying to figure out what those codes are. They're all friendly. And the masters will be explaining, and the space people will be explaining some of those codes to us, because some of these symbols are very symbolic. I'll give you an example of one. Let me see if I can find it in my notes here. I want to find the year if I can, but one of the crop circles that they made, the first crop circle of the new season that was made in, I don't have the year in front of me right now, was a star. They made a crop circle of a huge star, and they made that star to let us know about something that's going to happen soon, and it did happen. Within 2 months, a new star appeared in the sky. This is the third part of their mission of mercy. 2,000 years ago, when it was time for the teacher for the age of Pisces, the great teacher Jesus, to come, there was a star in the heavens that announced his imminent arrival. And it moved through the heavens, and it led the wise men to Bethlehem and shined down on the baby Jesus so they could find Jesus. That was not a star. That was a spaceship. That was a UFO specifically built at the request of our kingdom of souls, our spiritual hierarchy. The masters requested. That was built, I think it was built on Mars. It was 2.5 football fields big. And it was built to absorb the sun's energy and then be able to reflect it back to Earth and twinkle like a star. Because, you know, a planet gives off a steady light and a star twinkles. Yeah. So it was this huge aircraft, this huge UFO that twinkled like a star, and it was the star that announced the Star of Bethlehem. It was the Star of Bethlehem. Well, that was courtesy of our space brothers and sisters. Well, right after this crop circle of a star was made, a new star appeared in the heavens, Actually, there are four of them, one north, south, east, and west, so no matter where you are on the planet, you can see one of these stars. I see mine in the northwest sky at night, about 30 degrees up from the horizon. For you, that would be looking towards Alaska. And you might look that way and see if you see a star. But it'll be a bright star. I encourage your listeners on a clear night to go look for it. It'll be a bright light, one of the brightest lights in the sky. It will twinkle like a star. But if you look real close, you'll see it's also flashing colors. That is one of the four, yes, that's one of the four huge UFOs that were built to create the star announcing the imminent arrival of the teacher for the age of Aquarius. It's five football fields big. These are huge. There was one made on Mars, one made on Venus, one made on Jupiter, and one made on another planet, which Benjamin Cram has not named yet. And so there are four of these huge, huge stars in the sky. They're there every night. They're there in the daytime, too, if you can see it during the daytime. But I see mine at night. Now this star will be there until the teacher's day of declaration. It will be there in the heavens until then. It is announcing the imminent arrival, the imminent emergence, I should say, of the world teacher, just like one did 2,000 years ago. And it's the courtesy of our space brothers. Now, if you find it, when you see it, just keep an eye on it, and you'll see that it'll start to flash colors. If it doesn't, ask it to flash colors. I did. My wife was looking out our kitchen window, and she said, "Dick, is that Maitreya star?" And I said, "I don't know. Let's go outside and look." So we went outside, and I said, "If you're the star, would you please flash colors?" And we waited about 30, 40 seconds, and it started to flash colors. So I got my camera, and I took video, about 15 seconds of video. And when I put it in my computer and isolated the individual frames, oh, my, Ralph. I had one frame was all these shades of purple. One frame was all these shades of orange, all these shades of red and pink, all these shades of green. Beautiful, beautiful colors. Then I said, "If you're the star, would you please move?" And again, we waited, I don't know, about a minute or so. You have to be patient. But they hear your thoughts. If you want to send your thoughts to them, they hear them. They're telepathic. Man will become telepathic too. That's how we will end up communicating. Not with our voice all the time, but with thoughts. But anyway, that's in our evolving future. So I said, "If you're the star, please move." And we waited a while, and then the star went down and across and back and up. And I looked at my wife and I said, "Did that move or did I make that up?" And she said, "No, that moved." So if you see the star, talk to it. Talk to it and make sure it's the star. I have a friend, Ralph. She said, if you're the star, could I see another one?" And she waited about 5 or 10 minutes, and all of a sudden this other star came up and lined right beside the one she was looking at. And before she was done, all four stars were lined up, side by side. She was looking at all four of them. And then they took off.
Well, that sounds like my wife and I have seen similar sights. I just never really made the connection or really thought to try to figure out which part of the sky it was in. But, yeah, just like you say, they flash different colors.
Okay.
And I guess the word I'm trying to find is it's almost like a hypnotic experience.
Oh, yeah.
Where you do kind of make contact with it, and there is a communication that goes on.
It's a spiritual experience. It absolutely is. And that is the star announcing the arrival of the teacher. The great teacher, he's a spiritual being, but he doesn't come to start a religion or anything like that. He says, "If you're in a religion that's working for you, great. If you're not, I come for you too." He comes for everybody. He's not going to bother himself with religions. That's up to the other masters like Jesus and so on, who will be working with each religion. But he says, "If you're in a religion and it's working, great. And if you're not, that's okay. I come for you too. There's many paths to God." So this idea of the one and only way, that came from the energy of Pisces, that individuality and dedication to an ideal, which is another energy of Pisces. And everybody got dedicated to their own ideal. So this is the way. Well, there's many ways. There's many ways.
Mm.
And that's one of the things they come to tell us. So if you saw that, next time you see it, talk to it or think to it. Ask it to move. And then
okay.
just be patient and see if it does. I'm telling you, it's an incredible experience. These people love us. They want us to know they're here to help. And even if we don't know, they're going to help us anyway. But they're working behind the scenes until the masters come forward. Then we'll see them much more openly. They'll be much more involved in our day-to-day life on planet Earth. They'll be teaching scientists when the time is right. They'll be teaching them the science of light. Until then, they'll be teaching them other things. One of the things that they're going to do is help us improve our transportation. We're going to have really, really fast transportation that will not wear you out. When you get to your destination thousands of miles away, you won't be tired. You'll be just as refreshed as when you started. They're going to teach us how to do stuff like that.
Wow.
It's an incredible time to be alive, I'm telling you. They're going to teach us how to travel. You know, they travel from Venus to Earth in about a second. There's no time. Yeah, there's no time. When you get to the level of science that they have, there's no time in space travel. There's no time. You travel without time. Yeah. And they'll teach us how to do that. I mean, I'm telling you, the stuff that's going to happen, buildings won't be shaped the way they're shaped. The masters say, you folks live in boxes. They look down and they just see lines of boxes. You know, all our office buildings and all our houses are square, you know, or rectangles. They said, wait until we start building homes that are built to serve the energies around you. Things will be so different. Everything will be a different shape. I mean, it's going to be so much fun.
Will we see more buildings in the shape of circles?
Oh, sure. Circles and kidney-shaped and like a hump, a rounded top, you know. There'll be all kinds of different shapes depending on the energies that are available in that area and what energies we want to use. And they will teach us the science of energies, the masters will. And our scientists will understand this, and they'll explain it to the rest of us. So architecture is going to change tremendously because we're going to start learning how to use these wonderful energies that are available from the sun and from the masters, from the kingdom of heaven, that are being sent to us all the time. We're going to learn how to work with them in our everyday life, through transportation, modes of living, how to grow crops, how to eat and how not to eat so that we best serve our temple, our body, and so on, you know. So it's quite a time.
Wow, it certainly does seem to be.
So those are three of the four-part mission: pollution, crop circles, and the star. The fourth part of their four-part mission that I'm aware of, there's probably more to their mission than I know. I mean, they're so sophisticated. Like I said, Mars has evolved about the same level planet Earth is, but their science is thousands of years ahead of us. And that's why they're able to do all this stuff, travel here and so on. The fourth part of their spiritual mission is to be part of the forces of light, here to help us change our evolution and start evolving forward again. You know, there were certain presidencies that really, really hurt our evolution. And I'm speaking in particular of George Bush on that presidency, and similar presidencies really set our evolution back. Very sad, some of the choices that Americans have made that did not serve us well. But those are people that are not necessarily evil. They're just very Piscean in their thinking. You know, they think very individually and very, very idealistically. And of course, they're dedicated to their own ideals, whatever those are. So if you're conservative, then you're dedicated to very conservative ideals, and that's the way you're gonna operate. So
yeah.
The Piscean people are going away. Their time is over. The energies flowing into planet Earth right now don't support individual power. like the Piscean energies did. The energies flowing in now support work being done in group formation. So you're going to see a lot of groups growing out of our civilization over the next 100 years, certainly over our lifetime. The energy of Aquarius and the Masters works through groups now. That's why people in the Middle East, all they had to do was march in the streets, and they threw out their government. They never fired a shot. They just marched in the streets because group power is making things happen now. As a matter of fact, you know, Benjamin Krem is in touch with one of the 63 Masters. He's in touch with one of them all the time. He was taught how to do that, how to communicate with them. And his master, that's where his information comes from, and that's why I think it's so reliable, is because it actually comes from the Masters of the Wisdom. And his master even said that the presidency of the United States will no longer be one person. It will be a panel of wise people.
Mm.
He
yeah,
went
like
so
a,
far
like
as to
system.
Say... Mm? Yes. He went so far as to say if Jimmy Carter is alive when that changeover happens, he will be on that panel.
Okay.
Yeah. So our government's going to change. Things are going to change so much, largely because groups are going to have the power. What does that mean to your listeners? It means us everyday folks are going to be able to run the world.
Mm.
Because whatever we decide together to do, that's going to happen. If we march in the streets about something, that's going to happen. It's going to get to a point where our representatives in government, our senators and our people in the House of Representatives, if they don't do what we want, we're going to throw them out. And they're going to know that. So what's going to happen is they're going to start responding to our needs and our demands. They're not doing it now. You know, there's nobody in the United States that I know, well, there are probably a few people, but most of the people in the United States do not want war. They don't want us to be involved in war, and yet we keep doing that. The Pentagon is largely responsible for that, and their tremendous influence, financially and otherwise. But there are people in government who seek that out as well, and it's usually about power and about greed. And
yes.
And the
or
people
greed.
Don't want that.
Mm-hmm.
We don't want that. So they're going to have
start
representing us, or we're going to kick them out. And that's going to change the whole ballgame. You know, when people start writing letters, they're going to get answers, and they're going to get read. Emails are going to get read. And people once they find that out, they're going to start sending emails.
Mm-hmm.
And then they're really going to change things. So we're going to have it the way we want it. It's going to ultimately, we're going to run the world, the everyday person. It's not going to be the wealthy running the world anymore.
Well, that will be a big change.
That'll be nice.
Oh. Okay.
So the forces of light, I don't know if I really explained that. The forces of light, they're part of the space people are part of the forces of light. They're here, like I said, in the thousands. They've been coming for thousands of years, but now they're really here in droves the last 50 years because they're trying to help save the planet from pollution, and they know Maitreya is coming forward. They know the Masters are taking physical bodies for the first time in 98,000 years. They're going to be walking among us. The Masters are. And when Jesus came before, he wasn't a master yet. And I think maybe that's worth, would you mind if I explain that?
Oh, no, go ahead, Dick, yes.
Okay, well, the age-old way, and this is why it's such a big deal that the world teacher is coming himself, the age-old way for the Masters to get their teachings out is they would overshadow one of their great disciples who came into incarnation, who took a life knowing that was their purpose, was to let themselves be overshadowed by one of the Masters to give out the Master's teachings. What do I mean by overshadowed? It means that it's a great sacrifice that a disciple makes. And what the disciple does is he allows the Master's consciousness to enter his consciousness, and he allows the Master to speak through him. So when he talks, he's saying the Master's words, not his own words. For example, that's what Jesus did. He was overshadowed by Maitreya, who is the Christ for our planet. By the way, not every planet has somebody so evolved that they are a Christ. A Christ is a position in the spiritual kingdom. It's not a person's name. Jesus' last name wasn't Christ. You know,
right.
he was the Christ. He was Jesus of Nazareth until he was baptized by John. And then the last 3 years of his life, he became the great teacher that he was. And he gave out the teachings of Maitreya, the Christ. So Jesus became known as Jesus the Christ because he was giving the Christ teachings. It was a great sacrifice made by Jesus because Jesus could have taught a lot on his own. I mean, he was a very advanced disciple at the time this happened. And he knew a lot. He could have taught a lot. He sacrificed that to give out Maitreya's teachings, the teachings of the Christ. The Buddha, there was a prince named Gautama, Prince Gautama. He came into life knowing with the mission of being overshadowed by the Buddha. And so he allowed himself to be overshadowed by the Buddha, and the Prince Gautama gave out the Buddha's teachings. And that's why he became known as Gautama Buddha, because he was giving out the Buddha's teachings. Krishna was overshadowed by Maitreya, gave out Maitreya's teachings. This is the age-old way. Over the eons, all the great teachers in the history of humanity have been great disciples who allowed themselves to be overshadowed by one of the masters to give out the teachings of the time. Well, that's the way it's been. Now, the masters are coming themselves. They're not overshadowing anybody this time. They're taking physical bodies themselves and will walk among us and will speak for themselves. And this is the first time in 98,000 years that this has happened. So it's a very big deal.
Yes. Now, what's the best way to raise our consciousness to where we can begin to come into fuller contact with the masters?
Yes. Well, one of the ways that you can be in contact with the masters, we don't really make contact with them per se, but we can make ourselves available to them. One of the best ways to do that is through a new meditation called transmission meditation. And if your listeners want to go to the website, it's www.transmissionmeditation.org, not .com, .org. Transmission all spelled out, meditation.org. Benjamin Krem was asked in 1975 if he would be willing to start teaching transmission meditation on Earth. And he did. He said, yes, I will. So as he traveled around the world without any pay to give out the teachings of the latest revelations of the ageless wisdom and to help prepare humanity for the masters, for Maitreya and the masters coming forward, as he was doing that, he also had separate sessions where he taught transmission meditation. He would spend about an hour lecturing about transmission meditation, talking about what it is, why it's special, that it's brand new, that it's a group meditation. A group is three or more people. It's free of charge, and anybody can do it. It's done in people's homes, usually. I have a group that comes to my house. Actually, we did it tonight. We had the transmission group in my home tonight. You can buy Benjamin Krem's book if you want to know in great detail, or you can just go to the website. Benjamin Krem has a book on transmission meditation, which I think is just fascinating. But anyway, transmission meditation is a free group meditation that people are in almost every major country of the world are doing. There are transmission groups now. And what they do, you get two friends or more, and you agree to do this, and you pick a time, a day and a time. People usually do it once or twice a week for about an hour or longer. Now, some people aren't used to meditating an hour, so like me, I had to work my way up. I wasn't
right.
Used to meditating. So I had to work my way up to an hour. Yeah, that first hour I did, Ralph, I think that was the longest hour of my life. I kept looking at my watch, and when it was an hour, boom, I was up and out the door. Well, now I can meditate. Once a year we get together, a group of us in the United States and Canada and New Zealand, and we get together and we meditate for about six and a half hours for over a weekend. Each day over a weekend. But you have to work your way up to that, and you never have to do that if you don't want to. You just do what you can and what you want. It's free will. So people show up, and they pick a time and a day of the week they want to do it. Most groups meet once a week. Some meet twice a week. And they get together, and they do this little transmission meditation. There's nothing fancy about it. You just focus at the Ajna Center, which is the chakra between the eyebrows. You just focus there, and here's how the masters are involved. Normally in meditation, we make contact with our soul. That's the purpose of any good meditation, to make contact with the soul. We, in prayer, we send spiritual energy to the spiritual universe. In meditation, we open ourselves to receive spiritual energy from the spiritual universe. So prayer and meditation together, they complete the cycle of communication with the spiritual universe. That's why they're always mentioned together, prayer and meditation, prayer and meditation, prayer and meditation. Well, in meditation, we normally would make contact with our soul. The Ageless Wisdom says, you can picture your soul as a multi-pointed white light about 6 inches above the top of your head, connected to your mind and your heart by golden threads. Isn't that nice?
Boy, that is nice.
Yeah.
Wow.
So we make contact with our soul in meditation. We're basically downloading, if you're a computer person, we're downloading spiritual energy from our soul so that we can more do the will of God, because our soul knows what God's will is. So that's making contact with our soul. Well, in transmission meditation, it's much more powerful, and I'll tell you why. Because the masters know where the transmission groups are, and we don't download energy from our soul. We download energy from the masters. The masters send their energy, whatever energy they want, they think we need, they send it to us through the Ajna Center, the focal point between the eyebrows. And it goes through all of our chakras, and then it goes out into the world. So transmission meditation combines two yogas, karma yoga and laya yoga, the yoga of service, because when they send that energy through our chakras, it steps it down. It steps it down so that the energy going out into the world can be more readily absorbed by humanity. It does not as much of it bounces off. And so just like a transformer can transform thousands of volts down into a harmless little 1-volt battery that we can hold in our hands, that's what our chakras do. They use the groups to step down their energy before they send it out into the world. The masters have told Benjamin Krem it is working very, very well. Humanity is absorbing way more of the master's energies now. It started as an experiment. That's the first. It's the yoga of service to the world. So you're performing a service just by sitting there and focusing. You're performing a tremendous service to the world. The second yoga is the yoga of spiritual growth, the growth of the chakras. You can't possibly have all that tremendous energy going through your chakras without experiencing terrific spiritual growth. And the masters know just how much, they see our chakras. They see the light from our chakras, and they know just how much energy each person can handle. And they never send more through any person's chakras than they can handle. So it's very safe. It's done by the master scientists. So,
okay.
So Benjamin Krem says, 1 hour of transmission meditation is equal in spiritual growth to about 20 years of transcendental or any other kind of meditation.
Hmm.
Very powerful.
Now that's something else.
Pardon me?
Yeah, that's something else.
Yeah. Yeah, transmission meditation. You can do it once a week. You get together. Some groups will work up their time. They'll go an hour, and then they decide they want to change it to an hour and a half. Then they want to change it to – and you can come and go as you want. It's good to all start at the same time if you can. But if somebody can't get there right away, it's fine for them to come in very quietly and just join you in the middle. And you just sit. You don't hold hands or anything. You just sit there and focus at the Ajna Center for however long until you're done, and then you quietly get up and go. It's not a social event. You don't get together to have coffee and cookies. You get together to work. This is work. But it's also tremendous spiritual growth. So you serve the world. Powerful way to serve the world. It's my understanding that the energies of transmission meditation are what helped bring down the wall in Berlin, in East and West Berlin, bring down the Berlin Wall. It also helped get rid of apartheid in South Africa and allowed Nelson Mandela, a black man, to be elected president of South Africa. the energies of transmission meditation from groups all around the world help create that. So you can see how powerful it is. That's a great way to work to help the masters directly. Join a transmission group or start one yourself. You know, it'll tell you online how to start a group and how the energies work and all that. So that's one way. Another thing people can do is march in the streets, send emails, protest. You know, you're doing the master's work. I'll tell you how much they want us to protest. Maitreya has taken different, you know, he can appear however he wants to appear. He can appear as a child, an older woman, an older man, homeless person, an African-American person, an Asian-American person, you know, an European-American. They can appear any way they want to. Maitreya has been marching in marches. He marched in a pollution, anti-pollution march. Here's how we know. Somebody takes a picture. They get suspicious. This guy knows too much. He's talking a lot. They take a picture of this guy or this gal. They send it to Benjamin Cram, and they say, is this somebody important? Is this somebody special? And if it is one of the masters, Benjamin Cram will publish it in Share International Magazine, which is a monthly magazine that's in about 40 countries of the world. It's very inexpensive. I think it's like $40 a year. There's no advertising in it. And Benjamin Cram is the chief editor of Share International Magazine. And it's always talking about the latest with Maitreya and the masters. He has a question and answer session in the back pages where he answers questions that have been written in. And he'll publish the photo, and he'll publish letters from people who've had experiences with a master. And so there are photos in Share International Magazine of a man or woman who was Maitreya, because his master will tell him. Benjamin Cram will ask his master, he'll say, is this Maitreya or one of the masters? And his master will say, yes, that's Maitreya. So then he'll publish it. So the masters have been marching. The two that do this the most are Maitreya and Jesus. They're working very close together. They're appearing to people all the time, sometimes as a homeless person, sometimes in all different ways. I've had them appear to me several times. I've written into Benjamin Cram, and he's confirmed. Jesus has actually appeared to me more than Maitreya, which doesn't surprise me. I grew up a Christian, so I'm not surprised. But you'll know. There's three ways you'll know if you've seen a master. Usually, three ways. One of three ways people will know. Either there's something in the eyes of the person that are really special that they notice, and that, or second, their heart will just all of a sudden will be full of joy and love, and they can't explain why. Just all of a sudden they feel great. They feel so happy. They feel so loving, so happy, and they don't know why. Well, it's because they saw a master. They don't even have to talk to him. Just see one. The third one, is it'll be an ordinary, everyday experience. You look at a homeless guy on a park bench on your way home, and then the light turns green, and then you go on your way. But you can't get him out of your mind. It's an ordinary experience. You see somebody in a grocery store, but you can't get that person out of your mind. It was probably a master.
Okay.
I saw the Master Jesus in a grocery store. He was reading a magazine.
I'll be. So just reading a magazine.
He was reading a magazine about 12 feet from me. And I was reading a book. I was looking at the book rack, and I looked over at him, and he had kind of an off-white shirt on and pants, tan pants. But he had white sandals on. Now, this was in the middle of winter in November in California, so it was a lot of rain, wet and kind of cold. And I looked at the white sandals, and I thought, that's kind of odd. And then I looked back at them, and they just kind of glowed at me. I can't explain it, but the sandals just kind of lit up. And he never looked at me. He had a kind of a short, real short, light brown beard and mustache and hair. And then I just walked on. I didn't think any more of it. Well, I couldn't get this guy out of my mind. I kept thinking about him. I finally wrote to Benjamin Cram. He said that was the Master Jesus. They usually appear to teach you something. So a lot of times they'll appear, like if somebody hates smokers, they'll appear to somebody and they're smoking like crazy, you know. And or if somebody doesn't like the smell of alcohol, they don't like drinkers, they'll have alcohol on their breath or something. What's the lesson? The lesson is that we're all sacred. No matter what we're doing or what we look like, we're all sacred. Homeless people, they appear as homeless people a lot, just to show that everybody's divine, you know? Jesus said, there was something in the Bible about if you give to a beggar, you give to one of the angels or something like that. Well, Maitreya is making that come true. If you give to the homeless, you may have just given money to Maitreya or Jesus. They're the two that are doing it the most. It's really, really something. I mean, they love us so much, and they don't judge us. They just love us. They were us. They walked in our shoes. They had all the lifetimes we have. They've gone through human evolution ahead of us. They know what it's like to be hungry. They know what it's like to be sad or angry or confused or frustrated. They know what that's like. They don't judge us. They've been there. They just love us. That's the biggest thing I've learned from my experiences with the Masters. They just love us. They adore us. It's
and
just
really,
wonderful...
it's all about the love, isn't it?
It is. It absolutely is. And we've done a terrible job of showing that, haven't we? We haven't learned Jesus' lessons very well.
But we're still growing.
Yes, we are.
And it's
we are.
Like
and we're in for a beautiful future. One of the great laws, God's great laws, is the law of equilibrium. And what that says is that however bad it's been, and it's been pretty bad, that's how good it's going to get.
Wow.
So we have a beautiful future to look forward to. He's going to show us that future on the Day of Declaration.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to give us a glimpse of the past and where we've gone wrong. This is my information. This is what I've been told. And show us how we lost our way. And then he's going to give us a glimpse of the brilliant, glorious, loving, wonderful future that we have in store for us to inspire us to get to work. So we're going to have, this is going to be an unbelievable experience. He said, you will feel my love so much on the Day of Declaration that it will be as if I physically embrace you. That's how much you will feel my love on the Day of Declaration. Yeah, there are three ways we'll know it's him when we see him on TV. We'll know it's the teacher, the world teacher. One, we will feel the love of God in our hearts like we've never felt it before. If there are people who are afraid of the Antichrist, trust God's love in your heart. The Antichrist can't do that. Another way that we'll know it's him is that he won't speak. You'll see his face on TV, but his lips won't move. He will speak telepathically to everybody. You'll hear his words in your head in whatever your native language is. Everybody on the planet, people working in men and women working in the fields that don't have a TV or radio will hear his words in their head if they're over the age of 14. Yes. Everyone will hear him. All eyes will hear, all eyes will see, all ears will hear. That will happen. That's the second way you'll know it's him, is that you'll hear his words in your head, but he won't be speaking. It'll be a strange experience. And the third way you'll know it's him is that when he's done talking for 45 minutes or an hour or however long he's going to talk, there will be press reports from around the world that while he was speaking, hundreds of thousands of people were miraculously healed. And in those three ways, you'll know that this is the world teacher, the man whose personal name is Maitreya, and that he is here to help and make suggestions, and then we can either follow them or not. It'll be up to us.
Okay. And this will all be in accordance with our own free will and...
Absolutely. Nobody's going to be forced to do anything. You're just going to be communicated with. And then you can do whatever you want with that communication. Some people will be very afraid. Some people will yell, Antichrist, Antichrist. But he said, there were Benjamin Graham's master told him, there are 1.8 billion people who will respond to Maitreya and follow his suggestions right from the get-go. 1.8 billion, and that's a critical mass. That's all we need to get things going in the right direction. So there will be all kinds. I'll tell you, the conservative people in government will be very against this. They won't believe it for a second. The conservatives in finance, same thing. The conservatives in every religion, same thing. There's going to be a lot of resistance to this Day of Declaration. But for a lot of people, they're going to be walking on tiptoe. Because they feel the spiritual energy and they don't want to mess it up. There'll be people who will be doing almost nothing for a couple of days, probably, just to absorb that beautiful love and feeling that energy. It's going to be there has never been a day like that in the history of planet Earth. So if you're alive now, you are alive for the greatest event that has ever happened on planet Earth, and I'm told it will never happen again, ever. This is it. So what a privilege.
That is. Well, Dick, we're running out of time. Is there anything you want to tell us about the website?
Well, yes, thank you very much. There's a website, a Share International website. Share International is an educational nonprofit organization that tries to get this information out to people so they can do whatever they want with it. I'm a volunteer for Share International. Nobody's paid, and we don't want pay. The website is www.share-international.org. share-international.org. It's an old website. We're updating it, so don't let that throw you just because it looks old, because it is. The formatting is an old formatting and so on, but just start clicking. Man, there is just tons of information and UFO photos and photos of miracles, statues that are bleeding real human blood, paintings that are oozing oil, 100% pure oil out of the paintings, that, and they're said to heal people. There are miracles in every major religion as signs that this is going to happen, and you'll see a lot of those miracles on the website. It's a great, great website. There's all kinds of, there's audio interviews with Benjamin Krem. There's some video interviews with Benjamin Krem. It's a website that's loaded with information. Then the other one is the transmissionmeditation.org website. If you're interested in finding out more about transmission meditation, a free group meditation. I am told that people will be doing transmission meditation for the next 2,000 years. You can get in on the ground floor and teach others how to do it and what it's all about. You know, try it. See what you think. No harm in trying it.
Well, that sounds
great. Thank you. Thank you.
Well,
I hope we can talk after the Day of Declaration. I hope we can do this again.
Oh, I think so.
Because then people
definitely.
Will be wondering, what was that? What just happened, you know? Who was that guy? And then we can talk about it. That'd be fun.
Okay. Well, that sounds great, Dick. Well,
Ralph, I'm told this will all happen
about?
With... I'm sorry, I didn't give you the time frame. This will all happen within a year and a half to 2 years. It's coming right up. So this isn't like 80 years down the road. This is like a year and a half or 2 years from now. He's going to have his Day of Declaration. So your listeners will be there for it. I forgot to say that.
Yes. Yeah, we'll see it when it happens.
Thanks a lot.
Okay. Well, Dick, thank you. And,
it's been a pleasure.
Yeah, we're going to go ahead and wrap up this part of the broadcast. But, Dick, it's been a pleasure to have you.
I really appreciate it. Thanks a lot.
Well, sure thing. You take care now.
You too, Ralph. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Okay, that was Dick Larson, and as you can probably tell, I am just about speechless, but a lot there to consider, a lot there for everybody to ponder. I'm going to close simply by playing Gandhi's Triumph by Celtic Reggae Revolution. And we'll be back with you this Saturday at 6 a.m. with our regular Temple broadcast. So until then, blessings.